Sometimes the Lord will just go after that one, you know, just because he knows the pain that you're in, you know. He doesn't like it, people to be in pain, and he can be touched with a feeling of your infirmity, and he'll just put everything just for one. It's the way he is, because he cares about you. So he did that for you. You know who I'm talking to. Because he did hear your prayer, and he does love you, and he does care greatly for you. And he wants you to know he's listening. He shall minister comfort to you. Well, I don't know if we're ahead or behind, because we have so much to say, and it won't be said everything this morning for certain. I'm learning. The Lord, it doesn't like to minister to heavy hearts. It seems like you kind of feel that, more sensitive to that more and more these days. And he really wants freedom and openness, you know. There's such a wonderful presence in here for that. When you see everybody else tapping in and you can't, I mean, sometimes it's natural things. Sometimes you might be an impasse, but sometimes you need to become transparent with somebody you trust and open. Let him open the veil. Because you can carry that thing for a long time. And I mean, glory can be flowing everywhere and it can't touch you. There's a wall there, and sometimes those walls have to come through surrender. Sometimes there's a hammer that can break them, and when he shows it to you, transparency is everything. Listen, when we get to heaven, we're going to be very transparent. There's no secrets there. There's no walls we hide behind. And you think sometimes that those walls actually protect you, but they don't. The only true freedom is when God unveils you. And he unveils you, there's absolute freedom there. Hallelujah. Well, hey, it's good to be back here. Glory to God. I'm very, very excited to be here. And I love this place. I love the presence of the Lord. I was telling Tim Snyder, stand up. You're looking at a walking miracle there. Give him a hand clap, and then I'll tell you why. The spirit of death tried to take him out about 2 or 3 months ago and had 7 bypasses in his heart. Yes, and 7 different stents had to be placed in there, and just closed up everywhere. But he came through and whole and healed. And I was telling him, I said, you're really going to like this church, because when you travel a bit, not everything's like home, you know. And but this church feels like home because of the presence of the Lord, and has a real wonderful open heaven kind of thing here. And that's not always the case at different places, you know that. And sometimes you got to fight for 3 days just to get anything accomplished. And it's so wonderful just to walk into it, you know, already prepared. And it's a tremendous testament to all of you. Hallelujah. I want to try to introduce to you what we're going to be talking about this week. Probably one of the most powerful revelations the Lord's given me, to me personally and to give to others. And I don't even know how I'm going to... It's grown so big since last night. I had a download last night that I don't hardly even know how to introduce it this morning to you. I don't know how far we can get. But I'll tell you what it is we'll be talking about this week. It's a place of exchange that you can come into daily, where you can exchange all of your weakness, all of your trial. May not change the trial, but you can exchange the effect of that trial. Infirmity. What it is you're dealing with And in that exchange, you can literally eat of the sufficiency of the Lord. And you can eat freely. I have touched this place about 4 days in a row now. Since he tried to open this to me. A lot of times God will open it to you and then it takes you a little while to get there where he wants you to be. But he tried to open this to me maybe a year and a half ago, but wasn't quite ready for it. But when I hit this place, I had a visitation last Monday. This is the way the Lord got me into it. And this wasn't a God visitation. It was a demonic visitation. And this particular strong man had come. I don't normally talk about these things too much, but he'd come very strongly. And I was literally ready to just hang up the ministry, everything, you know, just said, God, it was that strong. And a couple of guys I'm associated with and things that we're doing, they were hit the same way. But in that visitation, I couldn't get it off of me all day long. I actually had an elders meeting on Monday night. I couldn't even go. I'm just being very honest with you. Couldn't get it off. It just sat there and screamed at me all day long. And with an incredible, I don't know how you say, demonic presence that just felt like you're going to buckle under it. It's just like that. And I cried to the Lord all day, and it seemed like I couldn't even get through to Him. I went to bed with that on me. I couldn't get it off. At 4:30 in the morning, I woke up, and there He was again. And I knew that I was going to have to find something. And I cried to the Lord, and the Lord spoke something to me. He said, only in the place of exchange. And I don't want to say too much right now, because I want you to get it all. But he showed me a room I could go into every day. He said, I'm going to show you how to get into this room. And this is what he said. I cannot promise that these visitations will not come. But I can promise you, just like Bronk was talking about that piece, a place that it cannot affect you. My grace is sufficient. And you can exchange your weakness. And what he told me, he goes, there is a table, son, that I'll spread for you every day. And I can spread it even in the presence of your enemies. And I saw that table and the Spirit spread. And he goes, now come and eat. And he showed me how to come and eat. And literally, in times like this, in the past, I couldn't hardly break through that quickly. I walked right out of that thing in 1 hour. And I went into this table. And when I began to eat from it in the spirit, in a spiritual, I came out of that and I felt like I was another man altogether. And to have that type of paradigm where you're at the nth degree of a strong man and then the nth degree of God's glory all in 1 hour, that kind of A to Z kind of thing, it does something to you. I just said, Lord, what is this? He said, this is my sufficiency, but it's not all of it. He goes, you're just touching it. I have much more to give you. In fact, your future will depend upon you eating from this table daily. And if you don't eat from it, you'll be lacking the next day what it is I gave you today. If you do eat from it, you'll be prepared to eat from it again tomorrow. And I said, Lord, show me. He said, I already have. That's what I'm going to show you this week. Hallelujah. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, we've had some really powerful, powerful visitations of the Lord this week. Just some people that have jumped into this. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you this week. If there's anything I can do by the Spirit of the Lord, if I can lead you to that room daily, and show you that it's available. And you know that it's available. But there's a certain things the Lord showed me how to get in there a lot quicker. Used to, I just pray my way. And now I know how to walk right in. And if I can show you how to walk right in, it's going to be a lot easier for you. So we'll see how far we can get. And then I may hold that part. Yeah, I'll hold that. Till Monday. That's a good part. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. I feel I can only introduce this, but we'll be moving along quite strongly come Monday night.
Those of you that meditated the book of Proverbs, you'll find it chapter 7, 8, and 9. It's very powerful, three chapters, about half of chapter 9. And Proverbs 7, Solomon begins to introduce this path of a young man.
And Solomon begins to introduce this young man void of understanding and, of course, the notorious harlot. Find out she's all over the Bible, really. Of course, it's talking about a man that is tempted, you know. But really, that harlot is the world system, and she's there as soon as you wake up every day. And let's look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 4. It says, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house..." Now, wisdom speaking first person singular here. She has a house. And so does the harlot. "I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding." This is spiritually speaking. "Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house." You're going to find here in chapter 7, 8, and 9, there's two very powerful houses. One of them is the house of this world system, and one of them is wisdom's house, whereby she executes all the things of God within it. "In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot and subtle of heart." Now she begins to introduce herself to him, and I want you to look at verse 15 here. It says, "Therefore came I forth to meet thee, did diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." Now, I remember the Lord gave me a vision, a very powerful vision, about 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half. And in this vision, I remember it began, I was walking down a street, much like an aisle here, and I was walking down this street, and I saw two very elaborate houses, one on the left and one on the right. And beautiful, both of them very beautiful houses. And when I was walking down the street, I remember there was the house on the left, there was a woman standing at the door, but she didn't come out into the street. But there was a house on the right, and there was another woman, and she was dressed according to this Proverbs 7. I knew immediately it was this Proverbs 7 harlot. She came out to the street. She met me right there at the street. And she was loud. She was stubborn. She would basically offer you anything that could appeal to your flesh. But not just that. It wasn't just sin in her house. More than that, it was a place where human sufficiency thrived. It was a place that if you went the way to her house and she could pull you in there, she could keep you doing things man's way for a lifetime. Even a place of religion. She said, "I have peace offerings with me in her house." But as long as she could keep us in that place, we would never be affected. And I remember wisdom never came out to the street. She stayed at her doorpost. She would call, but she would never walk out. And I remember somehow I was able to resist the temptation. It was powerful. And when I did, I began to walk over towards wisdom's house. And when I came to that door, this is what she said: "There's only one thing that gives you entrance to this house that I require of you. One thing." She said that you would take up your cross daily and follow me. As soon as she said that, of course, I wanted to know, what is that cross? Because that was the only access I needed into that door. And immediately I was ushered into that house, and I began to see many different rooms in that house. There was a multitude of people in the shower rooms, and they were getting cleaned up, washed and cleansed. I saw a kitchen that was probably as big as this room, with a buffet that lined that kitchen of anything and everything you wanted to eat. I saw wines and all these assortment of drinks, and there it was. It was incredible. And I saw this room, this library room. There were people in that library room. They were taking books off the shelves and receiving revelation. I saw different people in the bedchamber, in this place of intimacy. And all these, she said, all of this is available to you every day. He goes, but the problem, she was telling me, she was pointing all this to me. He says, you're trying to find all this in the middle of the street. You're trying to administrate from a heavenly seat, and you've not made entrance into this house. And because of that, the harlot, everything she represents, is constantly screaming, constantly pressuring, constantly offering. Well, let me give it to you where the rubber meets the road. When you wake up in the morning, when you report to the prayer closet, and I'm sure most of you do that if you're at this church, when you do, and you're trying to find that place for the Lord, you know, there's times you go right into that place, and you know, there's like a gravity zone, you know? It's like when you break free from this world system, there's a covering of the Lord. You know what I'm talking about. Once it comes over you, you're absolutely free to function. Now, some of us will go in there, we'll just worship, and we'll pray, but so many times we're trying to administrate in the midst of an atmosphere that's not been broken. And the way to see that properly is we've not been ushered in to her house. And I saw myself trying to administrate in the middle of a road with this harlot screaming and offering all these things. He says, you're not in the position that I want you to be in the spirit. He said, I want you to move into that place first where all of the temptation of the world, all the effects of the world system, all the oppression, all the war, all of it is completely removed. And you're eating freely. I'll say it like this. When you're endeavoring to pray, there's a lot of times when you break in, you know, it's all good then, you know. You don't have anything fighting you. You don't have anything affecting you. It's just free. You can go to the Word and eat. You can go to worship and drink. You can stay there for hours and not ever be affected. But then there's times when you go in there, everything's a war. Everything's a struggle. And you're looking for that place. David called it the secret place. You're looking for that room that you find where you're removed from that atmosphere that comes from the harlot. And so many times we'll come in and report and do our duty. I know I've got to do this, Lord, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to be faithful. But we never break through. And because of that, we're not eating from the table. We're standing there in the middle of the street being faithful. But all of that atmosphere is there with us. And we're not being effective. And I saw in the vision too, I started to confess right in the middle of that street. I said, well, bless God, I'll just start, you know, moving the mountain right here. A new sharp instrument having teeth, thresh the mountain. I thresh it today. And the Lord said, you'll be much more effective if you'll thresh the mountain from this seat in a heavenly place. You're not in that seat that I've positionally given you. In order to ascend to that seat, you've got to come through wisdom's door. He goes, you're trying to administrate from a heavenly seat in the middle of the street. And because of that, yes, you're being faithful. Yes, you're doing what I'm asking you to do. But now I want to teach you how to be effective. I want to teach you to come in and eat right in the presence of your enemies. And the Lord said, you want to know what constitutes trust? The harlot's house is going to be open every day, son. She's going to open her door to humanity every day that you wake up. And so will wisdom's house. He goes, what's constitute trust? If I know that you can go in, because once you go in there, I'm going to make the exchange. As soon as you walk through that door, something's going to be unloaded. And something's going to be gained. There is a sufficiency in wisdom's house that you're not going to find anywhere. There's manna in that house. She said it. She goes, I know what the harlot's doing to you. And the harlot's looking for something. She's hunting for the precious life. And she'll take it one day at a time. Don't think for a minute that the enemy's not coming at you daily just because you don't feel him. God comes daily. And so does the enemy. You remember Potiphar's wife? Pressed Joseph day by day. It wasn't just a one time temptation is that she came day by day. There is a stubbornness with the devil. And he's content to come at us day by day. You remember Delilah? Samson and Delilah. I want to show you that one while we're in there. Go over to the book of Judges, chapter 16. Judges 16. You've got to know and understand. This is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, until you can bring it down to the day, son, I'm going to give you one day. And he goes, if you can eat from the manna that I supply daily, no matter what the enemy throws at you, no matter what responsibility you have in the world, no matter what you go through, I already know it's there before you're going to walk in it. And I have already prepared a table for you that has everything you need that day alone to keep you in perfect peace, in that perfect place that you'd not be moved. If you eat from that manna, that day will never succumb you. It will never overcome you. You'll be as strong that night as you were that morning. In fact, when I started eating from this, desires began to fall off. I mean, just in 4 days. Hunger. You know that old, young, first love hunger. I said, God, I want to eat. He said, I want you to eat. He goes, you keep trying to do this on your own. And there's a whole lot of levels to doing it on your own. You understand what I mean. It seems the higher we go, the less God's going to let us do it. And it requires that we find His sufficiency. And if we do not find it, we cannot accomplish His will. The higher you go in God, the less you can do. I must decrease, He must increase. Where is the place of that exchange? Where is the place that I come where I decrease and He increases? Because I know this, the higher I go, the less He lets me do it. And if I touch it, it'll burn my hand. If I get close to it. And so what do you do? It's sitting there and I can't touch it, Lord. How do I bring it into the earth? Said, you will not do it in the natural. You must find my sufficiency. You do lay your hands to the plow, but it's not your hands, it's His hand that's being laid to the plow. And the problem is we're going out trying to lay our hand to the plow. And when you go out without that manna, the weight of that day Sometime by the end of the day, you're thinking, my God, am I even called? Why? You were not clothed to handle what was coming upon you. And the Lord said, the higher you go in the responsibility and authority requires that you eat from my table daily. Not just do the duty, but to access. It's not alone to know that there's a table every day. It's not alone to stand in the street and try to administrate a heavenly place. It's not until we move into that room every day and we eat what's on that table, you'll come out alive. You'll come out full. Not only satisfied and complete, the Lord is my shepherd. I've been eating from His table. I shall not want. When you come to that place where you shall not want, guess what? The enemy has no access because he's enthroned on your need. Because he's enthroned on your need, you're not serving your need in 100 different places. He's enthroned, but not only that, his sufficiency gets into your hands. It gets into your mind. His sufficiency breaks out into an atmosphere where he goes before you, making crooked places straight. And you walk out there and favor starts showing up around your job and said, what is this favor? It's the reward of those who know how to eat. Well, I prayed this morning, and that's good. But He wants us to be effective. More can be administrated. God, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll tell you about that seat more this week. I want to tell you about the harlot first. Because she's stubborn. My friend, you've got to know. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, she's right there. You may not recognize her. There might be a pitchfork, as Dave Rover would say. There might not be horns on the head, but he's there. She's there. She knows what makes you tick. One of the greatest problems the church has today is the fact that it can function in human sufficiency. Partial mixture of just sufficiency and anointing. And it looks so pretty. You can have a whole lot. The crowds, the multitudes, the money. Everybody loves you. Can't do anything wrong. It looks good, except revival doesn't live there. And once you taste of that, if you're not dead, you'll never go back. Why do I need anything else? I got everything a human being could want. But you haven't tasted the hidden manna. Judges. And Delilah, verse 13, said to Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. She wants to know where your strength lies. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with a web. And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with a pin and the beam and with a web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee when thine heart is not with me? You're thinking, why would Samson do that? She knows she's setting him up. Why do we go out in places we don't know where we're supposed to be? Why do we go out there knowing we're not supposed to go there? You gotta know she's trying to set you up. Well, I don't have any sin in my life. Listen, the sin of human sufficiency is the greatest of all. It stands in the stead of God and said, I can do it with my hands. I can do it with my mind. I can fix this thing. When things are not right, I'll pick up the plow and I'll work harder. And she said, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth. Do you want to know where your great strength lieth? Oh, man. We must access that manna that He provides daily. I mean, if I don't get it now, there's a problem. used to, you know, I'd be fellowship doing all the things I need to do, and I'd tap into it every once in a while. Now I know it's there every day. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily. She will press you daily. And urged him so that his soul was vexed. And he told her all his heart. He was living in the wrong house. There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb, and if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like other men. If my head is shaven, I shall just be like a normal man. He goes, but as long as my covering is intact, I am supernatural, and you can't touch me. Breach my covering. Breach that place. And I'm like other men. God never designed us to walk like mere men. He designed us to walk under a supernatural anointing and a daily covering where He makes an exchange from humanity to God's sufficiency. And He provides the supernatural element in our life daily as we surrender our sufficiency. The greatest thing Jesus ever said was this: apart from me, you can do nothing. Sometimes it'll take us half our lifetime to get to phase one. Without me, you can do nothing. Oh, I don't think the church is waking up to that one. We're wanting to do something for the Lord. Apart from me, when you wake up in the morning, you can do nothing. Until we get to that place, you want to talk about crucified? You want to talk about death? The self? Every servant of God must come to that place in their lifetime. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I said, Lord, I've been living there for 10 years. He said, son, that's only phase one. Phase two is you're going to have to figure out how to do it with me. I mean, anybody that sets their hands to the plow and tries to touch the ark, they'll get broken and they'll get burned. You'll find out real quick that you can't do this. You can't carry this kind of thing. You can't study this kind of thing. It belongs to God. Then what do I do? Because you won't leave. It's here every day. I wake up with it. I go to bed with it. It won't ever leave me. I'm called. You're called to produce something in the earth that's far above you. That you cannot produce in the natural. You're called to birth something. Like Abraham with Isaac. He said, no, Abraham, Isaac has to be born by promise. Oh, it's so easy for us to do it the human way, but what's wrong with it? I mean, hey, you know, a child's a child. It doesn't really matter. You know, the promise is fulfilled. It says, you said I'd have a descendant. Here he is. What's wrong with it? God said, no, Abraham, I'm going to also do something with that descendant. Though he'll be at war with you forever. But that which is born must be born by promise, Abraham. That's what God's telling to us. Revival. Oh, yeah, we can have everything and all look good. But see, revival can't be born of man. Neither can wealth transfer. Not the true. Can't be born of man. Can't touch it. Can't produce it in the natural. Can't dress it up and make it look good. It just don't come like that. We can make everything else look good, and the church does a great job at it. But after people eat from that for 5 years, they say, there's just no substance here. That's right, because all the substance is in another place, and it cannot be born of man. How is it going to be born? Where does it live? It's beyond us. Apart. And the sooner we get to that place, apart from me, you can do nothing. See, God gets us right up to the edge real quick. He says, no. It's got to be born by promise. Apart from me, you're not going to birth this. How do I do it? In an exchange. Daily. Where your sufficiency is yielded to mine. It's a place that now that you know you can't do it, at least you'll look for another way. Now you know your hands can't touch it. But my hands can touch it, yes, after they've undergone the consecration. After they've come into wisdom's house and he's exchanged your sufficiency for his. Not just revival. He's talking about how to walk as a father, as a brother, how to walk in the presence of the Lord daily. And there we saw her come, and she wanted to breach Samson's covering. Let me show you one more time the hard bondage of this world. I'm probably going to close here soon. Exodus chapter 5. The Lord is saying the same thing. Exodus 5, verse 1. It said that afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God, let my people go, that they may hold a feast with me in the wilderness." God's saying it today. Come out from among them. I have a feast for you. What's the first thing the Pharaoh did? Signifying that same harlot of the world system. Look what he says. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let you go?" You ever felt that struggle? Just go to pray. You'll feel it. "I know not the Lord, neither will I let you go." That's how the harlot. That's how she thinks. That's how she speaks. And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice on the Lord our God. We're going to have a feast with him. We're going to come out from this place." Look what he does. Verse 5, "And Pharaoh said, Behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, You shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saith, Let us go and sacrifice unto our God. Let more work be laid upon them." Just as soon as you try to run to God, that's the first thing. The weight. The pressure. It begins to weigh. We must learn how to walk out from under that. Directly into the presence of the Lord. And there is a pathway. Look at verse 13. "And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, Fulfill your works and your daily task, because you're under my system." That's how the flesh, and that's how the harlot. And God wants ultimate redemption from it. You know where it started, don't you? It started in the book of Genesis when man was confined to the sweat of the brow. Hard labor through thorn and thistle shall you work. And because of that curse that was confined to man, though we are redeemed from it, and though we're sons of God, how often are we still subjected to it? There is a pathway every day. And I'm going to close with this. Go to Proverbs chapter 9. Because I can't take you any further this morning. But to tell you that it's there. Proverbs 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily. When? Daily. Why would a man watch daily at that gate? Because he found there is no other gate for him to watch at. My friend, I'll be preaching to deaf ears if you've not already found that out in your life. It's to those that God has prepared in knowing, apart from me, you can do nothing. I know that, Lord. Do you know it from the minute you wake up? Are you going to walk out into this day? Because know for a certainty, the harlot provides sufficiency. But it won't be my kind. It'll be you out there. And it'll be tainted with human effort, tainted with human sufficiency, and the smell of human works. It'll be a toil and a struggle, laboring under a system that was created by the devil. He said, do you want to walk out there without me? Or do you want to find out how to go into my house? Find what it is that absolutely frees every one of those chains. And you walk out there after this exchange is made into my house. You walk out there clothed in the essence of heaven. Clothed in wisdom. Clothed in favor. Clothed in glory. Clothed in peace. We're trying to find that clothing in the middle of the street. Saying, God clothed me. God said, that clothing is not in the street. It's in my house. And you're going to have to go through the room of daily cross to get it. It's the very first thing He's going to take you to. Not pick up your cross. Pick up your daily cross. When I got in wisdom's fellowship in secret place, wisdom, whatever you want to call it, I said, Lord, there's no struggle in here. There's no cross in here. This is awesome. I can stay in here all day. Once you get in, there's no struggle. Manna from the Word. Presence from the heavens. Glory, peace, love, freedom. Glory, freedom, peace. I mean, Lord, this is wonderful. There's no cross here. What are you talking about, cross? The cross is not in wisdom's house. The cross is that place you come into every day. Because as soon as the harlot meets you, she's going to try to empower every part of your uncrucified lifestyle. Every part of the flesh. All she wants to do is get you into her house. And really more than that, she wants you to keep you from wisdom's house. And she's there every morning. And the cross is whatever it takes to get to that door. If you don't know that you need it, you haven't come to the greatest of commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, and strength. If you do that, you'll abide in His house and you'll automatically do the other. Think we're going to love each other outside of His sufficiency? To think you can administrate a heavenly calling of wealth transference and revival outside of His sufficiency? Oh no. Can't do it. He said, son, if you're going to addict yourself to anything in this life, addict yourself to that place. And I'll show you how to get in there every day. There's a cross that you'll have to pick up daily. But right behind it is the daily manna, the renewing of your spirit day by day. It's all there. The table that wisdom spreads for you every day. The sufficiency of heaven in the form of joy, peace, strength, glory, presence, wisdom, favor, anointing, breakthrough, angelic activity, blessings, provision. Well, you know, I don't need any provision. I just love the Lord your God. Hey, listen, you're not going to get very much done in this earth if you don't get that mountain established in your life. Because the devil will checkmate you every time. You'll be praising the Lord your God and having to go out and serve mammon. It's this place of exchange I'm going to talk to you about in the next 3 days. And I'm going to show you how to walk right in there. Even if your enemy's screaming at you, God spreads that table right in His presence. And there's nothing He can do. You want immunity? You want absolute immunity? You want to sleep in the midst of a storm? There's a labor to find that kind of rest. And though you can get it into today, it's not promised for you unless you go there tomorrow. Today's manna will not help you tomorrow. Every day, God has a manna. Every day, the table's laid out. I started thinking, I said, Autumn, if you prepared a table like that for me every day and I hadn't eaten from it in 3 weeks, you'd probably stop preparing it. But God will never stop preparing it in hopes that you'll come every day. He rises a long time before you do. In fact, He never sleeps. And He prepares. They'll come. Eventually, they're going to come. They're going to find out that they don't have it. I have it. If they can just come to that place, I can do nothing. How many of you been there? That's only phase one. Phase two, I've got to go in where that sufficiency lieth, so I eat from it. And when you come out, my friend, you are clothed. You are clothed. And changes happen almost immediately. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask You today for the grace to abide continually within Your presence. Show us how to walk into that room. I pray everyone that hears my voice, God, I pray they'll come back to hear it. Not because I'm saying it. I know what's in there, Lord. Amen.